And welcome back to Fully Equipped, Golf.com's gear-focused podcast, where we take weekly PGA Tour news and relate it to golfers of all skill levels. I'm Tim Breon, Senior Vice President of True Spec Golf, joined by Jonathan Wall, Managing Editor for Equipment for Golf.com. Jonathan, how's it going, buddy?
Professor, it's back to just you and me. We've got Mr. Tursky in the infirmary right now.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's a little under the weather. His voice does not sound so good, so he is not fit for audio consumption right now. So Andrew's going to take the week off. Yeah, we're starting to gear up on Fully Equipped. You know, we'll talk about that in just a minute. As far as the PGA Tour season is supposed to start in June, so there's starting to be some conversations and rumors coming out of different camps regarding equipment. We'll get into that briefly. And then just following up from last week, the Three Bill Bag episode, kind of a fun episode, break from the norm, creative idea. Yeah, it's a pretty cool idea. A lot of positive feedback from it. We'll go over a couple submissions of folks that sent in bags that they were able to find on eBay. And then we've got an interview teed up this week, which is a pretty cool interview. I hope all you listeners enjoy, with Shinye Mura. Mura is one of the premium golf brands in the world. They are a Japanese-based company, family-based, family-run and operated. And they also happen to make golf clubs for the most elite players in the world. You look at many of the golf clubs that some of the really, really well-known players throughout the last 20 years have played, and they may have had certain logos and brands stamped on them, but they were actually made at the Mura factory. And, of course, the product lines that Mura itself is able to produce are second to none. So really cool opportunity to spend some time with Shinye. So, you know, just getting back into some of the tour-related stuff, Jonathan, you know, well, what are you hearing as far as players? You know, I think they were in hibernation mode for a few weeks when the quarantines first started. But at this point, I think guys are pretty darn antsy. And I'm sure that there are some rumors you've heard, maybe not being able to mention specific names at this point, but I got to imagine there's a lot of testing that you're hearing about.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels like guys are coming out of hibernation now. We saw Rory post some footage of him hitting irons in driver on the range yesterday. So, you know, again, that's really the first golf balls. I had listened to a couple of Rory interviews over the past month, and he had admitted that he was just working out, maybe in the best shape of his life, which is crazy to think because he's always in really good shape and just in touch with the golf club. So he's getting
not as good on the Peloton as you though, J-Wall. Not as good on the Peloton as you, buddy.
Yeah, I you know, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
He never responded to your challenge, did he? Ghosted you?
I'm terrified that he's gonna seek me out at a tour event and challenge me. But we'll see what happens the next time I see him out on site. But yeah, you know, I think for a lot of tour players right now, there is certainly with players not being able to play, there's a lot of testing going on, and I know that you've heard a little bit about this too. Just guys that you know, the stuff that they had in the bag prior to the pause on the season, there are a couple players that are not going to have that gear in the bag when they restart. You know, I heard Bryson DeChambeau talking about some of the changes that he was thinking about, some new sole geometry on a different set of irons, and he mentioned maybe going to Cobra's Forge Tech irons instead of the King Forge that he was using, still in the one length. But again, it sounds like Bryson has been working on some stuff behind the scenes, and I don't think he's the only one. So yeah, I think there's going to be some movement. You know, we still haven't gotten a resolution with Justin Rose Hanma situation. It was kind of starting to heat up, and from what I had heard, there was supposed to be an announcement, and then everything kind of came down there at the Players Championship. So we'll probably get a feel on what's going on there when things restart. But yeah, still a lot of questions, but it kind of feels like we're getting closer to getting some answers.
For sure, and I fully expect to see a lot of changes, actually. So something, you know, we've been a part of behind the scenes is a lot of players that may be on their last year of their deals. You know, the economic landscape coming out of this is going to change, I think we can all assume. And maybe companies don't have as much money to spend on sports marketing as they did. And so what has already seemed like a reduction in the budgets of some of these tour departments, we may see some of that, you know, even more so. And I think one of the things is for those folks that are, you know, rolling off of equipment deals, they may not get deals that are anywhere near close to what they're used to getting, even considering the deals nowadays are not what they used to be, you know, 7, 8, 10 years ago.
The landscape's changed considerably. I would totally agree with that.
And so with the deals, you know, if you're outside the top 20 in the world, with the deals being even less lucrative, considering, you know, economically what's going to happen here, or what could happen here coming out of this pandemic, you know, I think that leaves players in a position where now the money they're getting paid to endorse different products, when you're talking about hard goods, you know, golf clubs, et cetera, it's substantially lower. And at this point, it doesn't equal what they can earn on the course. You know, a paycheck makes up the difference. And so just from conversations I've had with a couple of players that are players that fall into this category, they've said, you know, I'm up for renewal next year, and, you know, every offer I have made on the table right now is not even in the ballpark. You know, I may just go off brand, and I may go brand agnostic and do my own thing. I've heard that a lot over the last couple weeks. You know, in the specific gear testing category, I think a lot of guys, because of the wraparound season, they just haven't had an opportunity to do in-depth testing where they can set aside 4 or 5 week stretch in a row where, you know, results don't matter as much as being able to go down some of these rabbit holes that they normally can't chase. And one of these things is equipment. And so, you know, we've seen really prominent players, players that are looking to improve certain metrics and their statistical, you know, markers as far as performance, that are looking for really specific gear. 43.5, 44-inch drivers. We've seen quite a few players reach out saying, hey, I've never really tried this before. What do you think? Can we build up some options to test with? And they want to do it kind of off the radar. They don't want to be influenced by anybody, really. They just want to, you know, look at this and explore this on their own and see if it's something that makes sense for them. You mentioned, you know, sole geometry for Bryson's irons. We have some players that maybe currently not on a deal with anybody, but this really gives them a good 5, 6, 7 week period to drill down on equipment and see what truly is best. So I would expect there to be a tremendous amount of equipment news for week one. Right now it's slated to be, you know, June 8th. And I'll be curious to see, you know, all these stories as they continue to come out.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with everything you said, Tim. I'm not necessarily sure we'll see a ton of movement right after the restart. I do think that there will be some marquee names that will make some changes. But one of the things that you hit on, which I think people need to really keep an eye on, especially those that get excited about the you know, December, January time of the year, which is, you know, as players are coming off deals, even though there's a wraparound season now, December 31st is still the end of contracts. January 1 is when they can officially sign, and signing season is still fun. But I totally agree with you. I think before this year, we were seeing a huge, I would say a seismic shift within the industry of players not signing bag deals, because it just, you know, quite honestly, the juice really wasn't worth the squeeze to sign a full bag deal and lock into one brand. But now, especially with what's going on around the globe with this pandemic, and I think the way that it's hitting some of these manufacturers when they had to shut down their plants during a peak time during the season, I totally agree with you. I think there is going to be a shift of funds within some of these brands away from sports marketing and into other areas that are more essential to keep the business going. And I just don't think that we're going to see tour staffs that are bolstered by marquee names. I think some of those marquee names sign deals going forward, but I think brand agnostic is going to be even bigger over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I know just from firsthand experience over the last 3 weeks, players reaching out, you know, starting to realize when they really look at this stuff that it's difficult to find, you know, even for some of the folks not on 14 club deals, it's difficult to find 11 clubs within one brand that are all truly optimized just for you. You know, at the highest levels here, you know, they're designing equipment around design input provided by the Brooks Koepkas of the world and Tiger Woods and Rory and things like that, you know. But even then, you know, going back to the Honda situation with Justin Rose, he had direct design input over those irons, over the TR20s, I know, and the Rose Protos and things like that. And even then, you know, obviously there's a reason that a change was made. So even when the player has some design input, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to end up with a product that performs, you know, amazingly well. But the point here being that I think that you're going to see more and more players start to understand that having the best gear to them is ultimately something that enables them to make more money off the golf course, and it sustains their career a lot longer, where they'll get more starts in the long run because they keep their card, or they win a couple extra tournaments and it gives them opportunity to gain sponsors outside of golf. I think that's the model that this is moving to. And like so many things in life, this pandemic, I think, has accelerated the movement towards that kind of model. So yeah, obviously we're sitting on some news, folks, that, you know, can't be shared just yet, but it's exciting news for us at TrueSpec.
We teased it a little early.
Yeah, but needless to say, we're very excited about some opportunities that have come to us, you know, and we think that, you know, that this will give an opportunity to show what brand agnostic club fitting can do, and hopefully support that approach to the way that you play all the equipment in your bag. So in any event,
before we get to three bill bag, very briefly, I want to ask, get your take on this. What do you think? The tour season is supposed to restart in June, second week in June, at Colonial, right in my backyard. What do you think?
Yep.
Is the tour going to restart on time, or do you think it gets pushed back a couple of weeks?
I don't see the Travelers happening. I think they'll continue forward, but a couple of the events on this schedule may not. You know, they may play Fort Worth in South Carolina, and then Connecticut and Detroit may get pushed. I think that's probably what we're going to see, is that in markets that haven't been quite as affected by the pandemic, they'll be able to continue forward with some kind of contingency plan. We've heard about, you know, no fans on the course and things like that.
I don't think we see fans for a while.
Obviously, you know, social distancing with caddies will be interesting.
Do they even bring back caddies? You know,
I don't see anybody carrying their own clubs. I know that. I don't see anybody carrying their own clubs.
They'd have to be using, you know, most of these players would probably demand to have some sort of a stand bag or a push cart. Yeah, for sure.
Push carts on the PGA Tour.
All right, let's get a three bill bag. Tim, this was a lot of fun. You know, again, for people that maybe didn't listen to last week's, I would urge you to go back and listen to our three bill bag episode, where we went on eBay, looked at buy it now listings, and tried to compile a 14 club setup plus golf ball for $300 or less. And I think all three of us had a lot of fun doing that. We asked people to share their favorite bag setups using the hashtag #3BillBag. And we got some great submissions. And as we mentioned last week, we wanted to share a couple of our favorites. So I'll lead it off first. I probably found about four or five that I loved. One of them that really stuck out to me was actually a bag that, I'll admit it, it did a number on me, and it, for a couple of reasons. This may be better than my bag setup, and I really liked the one that I picked last week. But Miles Byrne on Twitter, listen to this setup, Tim. He did the Cleveland Classic driver. That was the one that Keegan and GMAC used for a while. I mean, well after the Classic was considered to be a new model for Cleveland. 2014 Big Bertha fairway, a Cobra Baffler hybrid, Cobra Trusty Rusty wedges, a Odyssey two ball putter Classic, this last one, and this is what really did a number on me. You know, I always have talked about on the podcast that the Titleist 990Bs were the irons that I always wanted, but I could never have because they never
we got back on this again.
But listen, but here's the thing: there was if that's my 1A, my 1B was the Mizuno T-Zoid Pros. You know, the closest thing that I could get to the T-Zoid Pro was the Comp EZ, which is a great set of irons, but I always wanted to play a set of T-Zoid Pros. And of course, Miles throws a set of T-Zoid Pros 3-through pitch for $90 on here.
Oh,
if there was a set of T-Zoid Pros for $90 and they were lefty, I would probably pay double that. I'd pay $180 for a set of lefty T-Zoid Pros. They just look so good. It kind of just that clean, kind of a 990B look, minimal offset. It just really, it was just kind of like a dagger in the heart when I saw that in there. His whole set cost him $290, so he still has $10 for beers or whatever else he needs. A couple other ones that I really liked. Ryan David on Twitter also had a Titleist 905R driver, the Pro Trajectory 975F fairway, a set of TaylorMade R7 TP irons, which I love. I saw a couple of old school ping putters. A Ping Pal was on there. I saw a Ping Answer. A lefty, one of the very few who actually participated, Robert Yackel, had the Tursky putter, the Odyssey Dual 4660. That was the Tiger Woods putter that he used during his Stanford days back in 1996. So some really good submissions in there. But yeah, that T-Zoid Pro, I was doing so great going down the list of bags, just being so impressed. Then all of a sudden it was just taking me back to those days where I was wondering when they'd come out with a lefty set. What about you? What were the ones that stuck out?
So first and foremost, that T-Zoid Pro, there's a lot of similarities to, it was actually the T-Zoid True. So I gamed those, by the way, in school, South Carolina.
Horseshoe.
Yeah, I had to just point that out. The 962.
Just kind of twist that knife, Tim.
Hold on. They were the set that I went to right after the 962 B model. Just the B model. So, because I know that you couldn't get the B model in the 990s. But yeah, I played these right out of school. They were awesome. But it's, you know, it's interesting in club design. Whenever I see a new product come out, I always say, okay, well, what does this look like going back? And you see a lot of similarities in the T-Zoid product line to some of the new PXG Gen 3 irons, as far as the way that they've designed some of this, especially the T-Zoid True, I believe it was, has a lot of similarities to the Super Tour iron. The Gen 3 Super Tour iron that PXG put out fairly recently. So maybe there's an opportunity to play something similar to it in a PXG, because I know they have a lot of lefty options there. But, you know, J-Wall, when we get off of quarantine, we need to refit you and actually get these irons in the bag. Did a bad job of getting those in the bag last time we got together, but we'll get you fit and get you all sorted out with some new gear, because we definitely need get some new gear in Tursky's bag. He's that guy. It's embarrassing.
We,
he's
we definitely need to just go play some golf. Let's. I mean,
first time, right? That should be episode 52. That should be episode 52. 10, 11 weeks from now, we need to get out and just play some golf. And we'll take snippets of that.
Let's do the podcast from the golf course.
There we go. That's okay, goals, ladies and gentlemen. So as far as my setup, Doran Drummond has a 913 D3, which, you know, Titleist drivers, I think, went through some periods there where they didn't quite have the ball speeds. I think they admitted as such as competitors. Interestingly, on the 913 driver, I remember Eric Compton is a friend of mine that we've done a lot of work on golf clubs with Eric in the past, and came in the test, you know, a lot of different drivers, and lo and behold, the one that ended up being best, we had like 12 different club heads. We had 913, 915, 917 club heads. We had, you know, 15 different driver shafts. And the one we ended up going back to was the 913 that he played at Pinehurst and finished second in the Open with. It was the best as far as dispersion and distance, and it wasn't even close to anything else. So, you know, that driver had, I think of that 9-13, 15-17 generation in Titleist, I think it was actually a little underrated. It still wasn't a ball speed king, but very, very stable and consistent. Titleist Fairway Woods 904F is great. High bore hybrid, probably won't use that too much, but hopefully I'm not in a position where I need very many hybrids. And then and then on the irons, MP33s, $50 for a set of MP33s. That's a pretty good score. A couple of Vokey wedges in there. And then the other one I saw, the interesting thing was, is Doran said, do I get bonus points if it's my actual set? No, Doran, you don't, but you do get a true spec fitting because you need to upgrade. So, Doran, let me know if you're listening out there. We need to get you sorted out at a true spec golf because I guarantee you we can probably do a little better than what you got in there if those are indeed your actual sticks. And the second question I have for you, why are they all for sale? So in any event, so the
you
other
really
the other,
like that bag setup.
Yeah. So what's that saying okay, about I your own feelings about your bag setup if they're all for sale? So the next setup I saw was from Ben Delahoyd, and he had a burner TaylorMade driver. Didn't see what shafts are in there, but I'm going to assume that it's something stiff that at least would be somewhere close. A 913F fairway wood, which is a very good fairway wood. A set of MP60 irons. Awesome irons from Mizuno.
Ooh, MP60s.
I can't see the wedge, but it looks like a Cleveland. Looks like a couple of Cleveland wedges on there. I've always been a big Cleveland wedge fan. And then Monte Carlo putter. So those were the two that stood out to me, that sets that I would actually consider gaming, so to speak. So
before we finish this up, We got to get into one final submission here. And this is actually a really good one. Andrew Tursky, our own Andrew Tursky, his sister, Kristen, she actually created a three-bill bag setup, Tim.
Uh-oh. Does Kristen play golf?
I'm gonna say that Andrew's done a pretty poor job because she has more than 14 clubs.
I'm going to say she's been to Topgolf, maybe a couple driving ranges.
I actually kind of like this setup. She's got an R5 dual fairway. She's got the 7-wood in there, which you and I have talked about, the 7-wood, as popular as it is on tour.
She must have been looking for his past articles to build this bag.
I like where her head's at. She's got a Wilson Hope women's Komen, the pink ribbon putter. So going for a good cause, I can appreciate that. The irons, she found a set of ladies slingshot, the Nike slingshot irons. I hadn't seen those in a long while. But then she's got some interesting clubs thrown in here. She has a Mizuno Cimarron single 7-iron, even though she has a 4-through pitch set of the Nike slingshots. I also see
it's for versatility, Jonathan.
Plus, I'm not questioning, but there's also a TaylorMade Firesoul tungsten, which those Firesoul tungsten irons
actually
were really good.
Those things were bomb.
But she has a single 6-iron in here, so I mean, she must really like it enough where she just had to buy it. But she has 16 clubs. I can't fault her. She actually did the bag setup. It's probably better than mine, to be quite honest. And
listen, maybe you need multiple 6-irons, well. Jonathan. Have you ever tried to play with multiple 6-irons?
She went to the Alex Rodriguez school of set building when I was out at Riviera earlier this year, and A-Rod had, I think it was like 4 or 5 6-irons in the bag, and they were all different brands. One of the wildest things. I think what ended up happening, the real story is that somebody from A-Rod's camp literally grabbed a bag of clubs out of his garage with a bunch of throw-in clubs and like threw it on the range at Riviera. He didn't play with them, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. I do appreciate Andrew Tursky's sister, Kristen. Thank you for the submission. Your submission is better than your brother's.
And, is it any weirder than Longer's setup? Bernard Longer. I mean, granted, it's his setup is legal at 14 clubs, but don't knock the 16 club setup.
Better.
Oh, he's got a.
I, it's gotten better because he has Mike Taylor now, who's worked on some of his irons. And Mike was really, I mean, longer, for a lot of people who don't know, he's almost as tough as Tiger when it comes to when he gets something he likes in the bag, it's near impossible to get it out. Yeah. And Mike was able to find a way to build him some irons that he threw in the bag. And again, it was slowly. I think it was like two or three the first time around, and I think he slowly added a couple more. But yeah, longer was tough. But again, 16 clubs, maybe I need 16 clubs. I feel like I could probably use 20 and it still wouldn't help. So
she's got six irons with two different bounces. She's got six irons with two different bounces for different turf conditions.
Hey,
come
listen,
on, man.
It's forward thinking. I can appreciate it as a true gearhead. I can appreciate somebody who's thinking ahead with the different sole geometries.
Andrew, maybe you need to looking at the gear you have in your bag. Maybe you need to take a page out of her book, buddy.
But, and he's not even here to defend himself. He's not even here to defend himself. His sister's bag is better. I'm saying it on record.
That's amazing. So, interview this week. Pretty cool, Jonathan. Had a chance to spend some time with Shinye Mura around the time of the waste management. Shinye made the trip over here from Himeji, Japan, which is where Mura is based. Mura is one of the longtime premium equipment brands. The difference is the way they actually forge their clubs. We can get into all the technical differences, but at a high level, they strike the proof more than twice, and they do that because they don't forge with the hosel attached. They attach the hosel after the forging process, so that therefore it allows them to do a few different things with the metal. The end result is a club that feels different than most, and it's been something that has been, desired by a lot of tour players, a lot of really elite players throughout the last 20, 25 years have really liked products that were forged by Mura. Mura makes, they're a brand in and of themselves, but obviously they do a lot of work for other brands as well. So had a chance to spend some time with Shinye. It was really cool.
Yeah, and it's also important to mention for this interview, for the purposes of translation, because Shinye answers these questions in Japanese, the answers for the podcast interview were condensed for clarity purposes. But for anybody who's looking for Shinye's full responses in Japanese with subtitles, make sure you check out golf.com and Golf's YouTube channel. We'll have the interview in its entirety up on both platforms.
And with that, let's get to Shinye. And it's a pleasure on Fully Equipped to introduce Shinye-san Mura from Mura Golf. Mura, for all of our listeners, many are familiar, is the world's most premium forging house that has designed golf clubs for so many different golfers, tour players. And it's our honor and privilege to have you on. Thank you for coming on to Fully Equipped. So it's no secret that Mura has done work for many other OEM manufacturers that have found their way in the tour players' bags. What makes Mura so different from other products that are available, and why do the best players in the world want to play Mura products?
Thank you. Well, first, what makes us unique is that in making a perfect iron, we have excelled at forging. During forging, we try to be as precise about an iron's weight and size as we can be. Another thing is that this is something you don't visually see, but we try to create an iron with a density that is increased to the right level of density. This is something we take pride in, and also what makes us unique. We are on the production side, so I can't say this for sure, but even though players don't visually see the density we create, they can feel right when they use our club to hit the ball. I think this is why they want to use Mura clubs.
Mura's forged irons for, I think, more major winners than people really know about. Can you tell us any players who have irons forged from Mura, and has Tiger Woods ever used irons forged by Mura?
Well, regarding your question, I would prefer not to disclose such information because this involves transactions between the companies. I wouldn't mention names. I should say, I don't know those names. And you should respond, are you sure? And let's leave it at that.
So, to many golfers, they may not know that Mura is largely a family company. Can you tell us a little about the Mura history, your father, your brother, everybody from the family that's involved with Mura Golf?
I think the family business has an extreme strength because the company is run by father, sons, and brothers. Because we are family, we think alike and understand one another very well for us to work as a team. However, at times, we tend to have more disagreements and fight over things.
Mirror has a reputation as being a brand that's for highly skilled golfers. What would you say to the average golfer about why Mirror is a brand they should consider?
When I first started being involved in the business, at the time I just started learning about what golf is, I used to think that I wanted only skilled people to use our clubs. However, as I started learning more about golf and players' perspectives, I started thinking that our clubs should be made available to a wide variety of players. It doesn't matter if the players were low handicapped or high handicapped.
One of your roles with Mira is to develop new products and new designs. I'd be curious, when you're designing new products, where do you get your inspiration for new products from? And are you spending a lot of your time on a computer with drafting programs, or is it more sketchbook and piece of paper?
About feeling inspired, what I do all the time and anywhere I go is that I see what's visually beautiful. I try to be inspired because any beautiful forms I see may be applied to a part of a club. So, to answer your question, first I would sketch, but then I can't foresee when I get inspired and have ideas, so I carry a sketchbook and pen with me always. It's faster that way.
How much does input from tour players impact your iron designs?
Well, through working with Mira Golf, we recently received more of such offers. The number of offers is just a secondary. What is more important is the increasing amount of feedback we receive for each product. Thanks to those feedbacks, we can learn what needs to be improved.
Is there anyone specific that has more impact on input than someone else? Like any specific players?
It's about the same for all players. It's about the same.
Do you feel that amateur golfers, lower skilled golfers, should be playing more forgiving golf clubs? And there's a perception that Mira is for more highly skilled players. Are there products that are being designed to help some of the less skilled players improve?
I think our clubs are for all players, even for players who want to simply enjoy golf.
What innovations in iron design do you feel have had the most impact over the last 15 years? And what do you think about hollow-bodied iron designs?
I wouldn't say 15 years, but I would say in the past 10 years. I am talking about the past 10 years since I took over the current position. When creating a model or designing, what we keep in mind is the sole, the width of the sole. I have been taught that if the sole is not perfectly designed, everything else would fail. With that said, we have been working on improving our products by changing the width of the sole. There is a width limit in forging, so by making the inside hollow and creating a curve that creates more width, based on this, we created an inaudible iron.
So what are some things that we can look forward to from Mira as far as product designs? Or what are some new ideas that you're considering for new Mira products?
We try to perfect our products little by little each year. Our current products, which are divided into four different lines. Right now, those four lines might not cover players of all levels, so we would like to slowly but surely improve our products so that we could cover players of all levels in the future.
A lot of companies in recent years have been making their lofts stronger and stronger on their irons. What's your opinion on that?
Up until a few years ago, I had a negative feeling about it. I had a negative feeling about it because we couldn't create the width we wanted by forging. After years of trying, we were finally able to find ways to create the width we wanted. The loft could be improved after that. The loft cannot come before creating width. We now have the skills to create products in this order. With that said, going forward, we would like to make efforts to create clubs with strong lofts so that we could cover all types of players.
Many of our listeners are familiar with the products that are sold here in America, but most manufacturers make clubs for different markets. I'd be interested to hear the difference between the products that you design for Asian markets versus North American markets.
Naturally, there are differences. For example, clubs used in the U.S. are different because the physique of those players are larger in their size. They are also physically so strong that they could not control the clubs by their force. On the other hand, players in Asia are smaller in size and have less physical strength. Therefore, we would differentiate those markets so that we could provide clubs that fit the physique of each market.
You recently switched from stamped grooves to milled grooves. What's the difference in benefit of those two?
The difference between stamp and milled is that the condition of the finish is an essential element for giving a ball spin. Those grooves need to be processed near the final process. In general, stamp gives less spin. However, our engineering has improved to the point where stamp could give more spin. So I think that our products could give the same amount of spin by using either one.
And over your career, are there any really funny stories you can share about designing some of the products or some of the players you've worked with throughout that design process?
Since we take pride in what we create, most stories we can share is about how much of hardship we had. In the beginning of my career, the first thing I learned was forging. So this is homework I have been given by the chairman. I have been challenged to measure the right amount of forging material even before forging. The amount of material cannot be 1 gram more or 1 gram less. It must be the exact amount. To date, I haven't been able to finish the homework. I think I will be able to share some funny stories after finishing the homework. Since I haven't finished the homework, I'm trying harder to do so.
In your opinion, what makes Japanese forging houses so much better than everywhere else in the world? Like, why do they produce irons that just feel better?
Japanese golf production originally started in Imeji. I verified with the oldest ironworks company in Japan, but they have been providing the best part of their product to golf club production companies. To expand our market, it is important to know that we get to have the best quality one. Chogo and Imeji are known to produce the best products. I think this system is something that makes it better.
Shinyu-san, Mira, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for being on Fully Equipped, and we look forward to seeing all of the new products that Mira designs, and keep making great products.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's about a wrap for episode 41. Thank you all for listening. Many thanks to Shinye Mira for coming on the pod and spending some time with us, giving us a peek behind the curtain as to that Mira secret. Really excited next week. Going to have a really cool interview as well. Jonathan and the guys from golf were able to spend some time in Fort Worth with Mike Taylor from Artisan. And really, really awesome interview teed up, something you don't want to miss. Obviously, Mike has done a lot of work for some of the best players in the world, including Tiger Woods. So hopefully we'll be able to get some insight and some knowledge from Mike as to his time working with these players. If you're looking for more content from us, please check out our social channels. You can find us on Instagram @FullyEquippedGolf. You can find us on Twitter @Fully_Equipped.